Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, it's been a few weeks since we last chatted, and you know what I have to say? Over those few weeks, the precious metals and the precious metal stocks actually did pretty well. So I hope we're not jinxing this whole rally by bringing you back on, but I do like hearing what you have to say and what you are watching. Clearly, first and foremost, what we should at least look ahead to is next week and the Fed meeting. We've gotten a lot of different comments on that, and it does seem like the Fed is going to go through with the start of tapering of the QE program. They've really told the market about this. You can make the argument that the market has already priced it in because, well, they've been talking about it for months now. What are you going to be watching next week as we hear from Jerome Powell, as we get the Fed statement, and let's assume that they are starting to taper next week?
Yeah, I think that's safe to assume, Corey. They've certainly been telling us that since really early August, when Vice Chairman Chlamydia, as we call him, Clarita, came out. It was August the 4th, and said, no, this is coming. So, I mean, this isn't any new news here 3 months later that they're finally going to do it. And that's kind of how the Fed rolls, right? They're always more reactive than being proactive. They're never going to move very quickly. And I think there's a couple things to watch next week. And most, you know, the biggest reaction you want to watch is in the bond market, because the bond market is starting to act like what everybody terms a policy error is upon us. You know, again, the Fed being reactive instead of proactive. If they're proactive, they might have started hiking the Fed funds rate back in April and May, because inflation is not transitory. Everybody knows this. But yet they've held that company line and have not done anything in terms of taper or hiking the Fed funds rate. And so now, with the U.S. economy clearly sliding into a stagflationary recession, now they're going to start hiking rates or tapering. Again, that's a policy error that people are looking at. And I think the metals have begun to anticipate that. I guess we could make the case that the gold's underperformance this year in the face of sharply negative real interest rates is because the traditional investors of gold and all its forms, including futures, are looking at real interest rates and going, yeah, but they're not going to stay down like this. It's transitory. Inflation's transitory. Nominal rates will go up and we'll be back to 0% or positive real rates before too long. So I'm not going to worry about the fact they're -3 or -4 right now. And so gold hasn't done anything. Again, looking ahead to what they thought the Fed was going to be doing. And now if you look ahead, it's more this stagflationary recession and maybe a policy error. And maybe the Fed has to change course before too long. And so all of a sudden the metals start to rally. So we'll watch the bond market next week. We'll watch to see if gold has kind of a buy the news type of trade that develops. And then we'll watch the chart really closely. There's a clear double bottom that was formed in August and then again in September at 1720. And we've been a pretty clear uptrend off of that second 1720 low ever since. We've broken through the 50-day moving average and now have been oscillating for a week back and forth around the 100 and 200 day moving averages, which are within a couple dollars of each other. Get above there, then all of a sudden we'll target 1836. And that is a level that gold has banged up against a couple times, most notably back there on August the 4th, when we first heard that this taper was coming. And what everybody's waiting for to get excited, the generalists and investors in general, is a move above 1836, because then finally, instead of a continuing string of lower highs, we'd finally have a higher high. So we'll see. That's kind of, I guess, encapsulates everything we're going to need to watch as we go through the week next week.
Well, Craig, you set the table nicely there. There's a lot of people that believe everything's already priced into the tapering and believe that the Fed will move forward with it. But as you mentioned, if they were to get partway into this, if they're supposed to do, I think, $15 billion a month that they start ratcheting back, if they get a couple months into this tapering program and then realize the market's having a little bit of a fit, they may have to reverse course. And that's, some people have proposed that may be beneficial to gold. And then the other question would be, with the inflation readings sticking, even Powell and even most of the central banks around the world have admitted inflation is now stickier than they thought. It's going to probably remain higher than they thought. And even some of the general market folks are coming around to that. I'm seeing more articles, more mainstream media discussing inflation now. Do you think there's a point of reckoning where the general markets will realize the box that we're in, where we can never really normalize rates to say 4 or 5% without crushing things and the amount of debt that's on the system. So do you think preemptively, before that even gets there, that the markets will realize that and that this may be a boon for precious metals, maybe moving into next year?
Yeah. I think, Shad, that's exactly right. And that's, I think, the early stages of what we're seeing. Because here we have gold and silver now. Silver got to 2150 and now it's 2450. I mean, that's a nice 10% move. Really, a lot of it in just the last couple of weeks. Gold has come up $80, $90 from its lows, even while nominal interest rates have risen over the past month or so. And so I think, again, the market tending to be forward-looking is starting to anticipate that you know, the U.S. economy is sliding now. You know, all these supply chain problems and everything else. But again, you got that initial surge as people went back to work after COVID, and now we're rolling back over. The yield curve is showing you, that forward-looking, glance at some potential recessionary, stagflationary recession possibilities for next year. And so gold is starting to look at that. Yeah, what if all of a sudden, wait a second, the Fed does have to change course next year and support interest rates to keep them down, or try to revive the economy by not hiking the Fed funds rate. I think that's what we're starting to see the market anticipate. And like we've discussed, the three of us I've mentioned this, I don't know how many times in the last couple of months, the market coming to terms, and I use that, the market, loosely, like I'm putting air quotes around it. You know, this is general public and hedge funds and the like. The perception is what that market is. And I think that's coming to terms with this possibility. And as that happens, everything begins to move up gradually, which is what we've seen so far. But then everybody kind of jumps in it, at once. I mean, look at some of the ways some of these base metals have moved. Look at how crude continues to go. I think that is maybe where we head, just a kind of gradual move. Then you start clipping off, making some higher highs, getting above maybe 1880 and 1900. It was like, oh man, here gold's finally going to catch up. And then everybody piles in at once. So I do think we're headed that direction, but we're not in that big sharp move area yet. But it definitely seems to me that the risk is to the upside, not the downside, at least at this moment.
Now, saying that, though, Craig, we do need to accept the fact that central banks around the world are tightening policy. The Bank of Canada on Wednesday unwound their whole QE program, and they've been issuing some pretty good job numbers and some pretty good economic data. But the argument was that the Fed was behind the curve, so they will need to continue to tighten. I realize that the process being they won't be able to tighten as much or raise rates as much, but the fact of the matter is, if they do go slowly, and if economic data doesn't collapse on itself, couldn't there be some more downside, at least for the precious metals? Because that's the balance, right? The base metals are doing well because the economy seems to be doing well. And, there are other factors as well, but the precious metals, again, if we don't have that whole come to notice moment by investors right away, isn't there some more downside that could happen?
Corey, with all due respect to you Canucks, I'm not sure what the Bank of Canada does has much influence on it.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's the global trend of tightening around the world rather than loosening.
Right. But it's not the ECB. Not seeing anything out of the Bank of Japan. Bank of England, the gilts are soaring in price and yields are dropping in the UK. And so I'm not so sure that really takes hold in the sense that those currencies begin to soar like the Canadian dollar. I'd be more concerned if all of a sudden the euro started to really tank, because the euro is such a big part of the dollar index, and then that would pump the dollar index up, and then the machine seeing that would sell gold and silver futures. But I don't see, I don't mean to marginalize the Bank of Canada, but the more important central banks, I don't see them headed down that road just yet. Even Powell himself has said, as recently as last week, he's still on a 2023 for a first Fed funds rate hike, even though the market's pricing and some stuff that's earlier. Again, though, at the end of the day, though, Corey, let's dial this back to U.S. because we're talking about dollar price gold and what the Fed is doing. And we're going to have to watch really closely how the U.S. economy moves in the weeks and months to come, because if you track, for example, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now model, that guy down there takes kind of real-time data, not just what the BEA does in cranking out the GDP number that we got here on Thursday at only 2%, well below expectations. He takes real-time data, which means the revisions, as we get a revision next month to the third quarter data, the GDP data, is probably going to be even lower. And then this Atlanta Fed GDP model now is only down to 0.2%. So if that trend continues into the fourth quarter and we start showing contraction in the U.S., how quick would this whole narrative change about higher interest rates and acting preemptively? Really would reveal how much of a corner the Fed has painted themselves into.
Well, Craig, and to that point about most of the major central banks really not moving yet, it's more of some of the ones on the periphery that are moving first in this tightening. They still are going to be able to tighten enough if we start seeing GDP levels and estimates for the economy growth slowing down at the same time, because that is very stagflationary. You've got the inflation trends, which it's not just the growth of the economy that's underpinning commodities, it's the inflation that's underpinning commodities, along with rising mm-hmm. wages. So if we see rising wages, labor problems, input costs going up, and the economy slowing down, do you think that there's potentially a moment in the general markets where some people may start cashing out some chips from the casino after six quarters of really good runs in the general markets? Could that also be another force that mutes what the Fed can do next year if we start seeing just a pullback on growth concerns in the general markets?
Yeah, maybe, Chad, that's for sure. But boy, the S&P 500 since April of last year has tracked in just a straight up 45 degree angle. Every maybe once a month or so pulling back to its 50-day moving average. Last month and early here in October, briefly dipping below the 50-day all the way up to that. But now it's just magically continuing to go up. So as long as the central banks, particularly the Fed, don't completely taper down to nothing, which I can't imagine them doing, I just would really be surprised we actually are able to pull that off by June or July of next year. Then the liquidity just keeps getting created and keeps flowing in and keeps getting levered up and all that stuff. So I don't know. I've not been a stock market bear for quite some time, because I know what the fundamentals are, man. And I know what the economy is. I know about the earnings and all that kind of stuff. But as long as the cash keeps flowing and some of it makes its way into the markets and gets levered and all that kind of stuff, it may just keep going up, as silly as that sounds.
What about with the tax rate increases that they're proposing for next year, though? I guess my point was that with having had such a great run, there's no doubt the general markets have been on that 45 degree angle up, Craig. But after such a great run, if you knew you were going to have your taxes go up by 30 to 50% next year compared to where your tax bracket is now on capital gains, or they're even talking about taxing non-realized gains next year. Now, granted, they're just floating these ideas out there, but do you think that that would cause at least not a crash, but a slowdown in the march higher in the general markets, which may get people to start thinking, hey, maybe it's risk on and maybe I should have a few safe haven plays?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Chad. I agree with you completely. I mean, that could kind of cause a slowdown, in a trading range and that sort of thing. But man, you just look at that chart and you know that the central banks are creating all this cash. And as long as that spigot is turned on, it just seems to be the buy the dip mode in the general equity markets. So I don't know. I rather than expect or hope for this kind of safe haven trade to develop, I just would anticipate that as these policies continue to be put in, utilized, the zero interest rate, QE, debt monetization, and again, I don't think that central banks of the world can ever go back on that now. Then we'll wait for the market to realize that negative real interest rates are here to stay. That correlation with gold prices that historically has held about 95% of the time, I think will reassert itself, and gold will eventually rush to catch up to the level of those persistently negative real interest rates. But we're not there yet, obviously. And next week will be important to see exactly how the bond market, Forex markets, and the precious metals markets respond to whatever it is Powell and his minions have to say.
So, Craig, next week also will be important, I think, because it's a whole new month. And let's just quickly recap what gold has done just this month, starting off with GDX, the gold stocks. Those really bottomed just before the end of last month and moved up to about 15% to the peak just this month. Pulled back a little bit this week, but overall, it was a nice rebound. That being said, GDX did break below that about 3068 level that was some pretty strong support. So that was a bit disappointing, but it happened quick and it recovered quickly. Gold also has recovered back just above 1800 as we're recording this. What are you watching on the charts then?
Yeah, the shares are a lot like the metals. I mean, they really need to make a higher high to begin to people sense that they're breaking out of these kind of consolidation flags they've been in. You know, you could look at gold and say, yeah, the 1800 level is an important level. And we went up there in 2011 and briefly got above and then pulled back. And we banged around there last year, then finally got above and made new all-time highs. And we've been kind of flagging ever since on, you know, on like a monthly chart. Silver, and that huge run in July of last year, has been flagging sideways between 22 and 28 for the last 15 months. And GDX, if anybody wants to, you know, pull up about a 10-year chart, has a perfect, almost textbook kind of cup and handle formation to it. That cup layer, you know, if you think about the kind of like a coffee cup, you know, you got the layer, the horizontal layer. That horizontal layer is about 31 and a quarter on the GDX. And it broke down there, like you said, briefly. And then immediately reversed. Now we're back up to 33 or so. Once again, just like everything, like gold and silver. And once the shares begin to finally break out of this consolidation phase that has lasted, you know, a lot longer than I thought it would, and most people thought it would. Once it finally does, then all of a sudden these technical formations are going to jump off the page at regular investors, generalist, you know, investors, hedge funds and the like. And things could begin to move pretty quickly. But again, that's, we're not there yet. We got to, you know, we're looking at 1836 and 1840 for gold to start getting people excited. We got silver up above about maybe 25. And the GDX needs to get 36 and then 40. And then, you know, then the thing will really start feeding on itself. That's a ways away. So for now, it's just still wise to be prudent and wait till we make those higher highs if you want some kind of confirmation before jumping in.
All right, Craig, great having you back on the show, buddy. I hope you had a good last couple weeks. I hope that you can join us in the following few weeks. And hey, I hope November is as good of a month as October was for the precious metals. And hey, starting off November, there's going to be a lot of fireworks, undoubtedly, because of that Fed meeting. Craig, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Okay, guys, you too.